If I can impart something to you to help you, then thanks be to God and we will give praise to our God. And if anything I say by any chance is offensive or not germane, please forgive me. I have come to write a book called How Do I Choose the Right Partner for Life? And it comes as a product of 40 years of marriage. 25 of those years, which were rotten years because I was a very bad husband. But the last 15 have been wonderful because those last 15 have been Orthodox years. I was a conservative Baptist Protestant for 25 years before becoming Orthodox. And if you want to hear something very ironic, right around the corner from my house, is a Romanian Baptist church. I'm still trying to figure that one out. What I want to get across as a main point to start with in an introductory manner is the fact that Satan, the evil one, is a real person and he is a deceiver of mankind. We portray him many times in our country as a cute little guy in a red suit with a pointed tail and a pitchfork in his hand and horns on his head. And we make him out to be something of a caricature. The thing that the evil one would want us to believe the most about him is that he is not real. But he is a deceiver. We know this by the temptations that he put before the Christ in the wilderness. And please make no mistake, the evil one knew Christ was the Son of God. I'm not familiar with the Romanian translation of the scripture, but I know most English Bibles tell us that he said, if you are the Son of God, when it really should be translated from the original Greek, since you are the Son of God, there was no mistake in his mind. His object was to deceive the Christ into betraying his mission from God the Father. The last temptation, I will give you all these kingdoms. If you will fall down and worship me. Was his attempt to get Christ to bypass the cross? But the Christ was able to defeat Satan in the wilderness. Mainly by his fasting 40 days. And being able to resist the temptation. Afterward, he was ministered to by angels. The evil one was able to offer those kingdoms. Because they now belong to him. Because of the fall. And because he was able to present them to him as a prize. He was able to make a legitimate temptation. The world lies in the lap of the evil one. And he presents the world to us in a deceptive manner. I'm going to tell a story to illustrate this. There was a politician who died and stood may I say, this story is very apocryphal. Please do not judge its theological value. So he died and stood at the gate of St. Peter. And St. Peter, instead of inviting him in, said, "We have a rule here. One must experience a day in hell, and then experience a day in heaven, and then make one's choice where one wishes to go." And the senator said, "Oh, I'm sure I would not want to go to hell." But St. Peter said, "Rules are rules." So the senator said, "Where do I go?" And St. Peter pointed to an elevator, which only had one button, which was down. He got in the elevator and went down, not knowing what to expect. The door opened, and there was a beautiful green park. People were playing golf and tennis and soccer. Having a wonderful time. After all the activities, they went into a large banquet hall. And they had this wonderful, sumptuous meal. And the devil came in. He was a beautiful blonde woman. And very, very sexy. And telling jokes. And was the life of the party. The day was over. He went back up the elevator and thought, "My, that was good." Then he went to St. Peter again. St. Peter brought him into heaven, fitted him with a pair of wings and a white gown, gave him a harp, gave him his own cloud, and he sat around all day on the cloud playing the harp. I told you this wasn't theologically correct. And so after that day was over, St. Peter said, "What is your choice?" And he said, "I never thought I would say this. Not that heaven was dead or anything. It was just a little boring. I actually want to go to the other place." St. Peter said, "It's your choice." Back to the elevator. Down. Door opens. Rotten, stinking, burning flesh. Fire. People screaming. People in terrible anguish and terror. There was the devil laughing in his real persona. And the senator said, "What's this? Yesterday it was beautiful. Today it's this." And the devil said, "Yesterday was during the campaign. This is after the election." And this illustrates what the evil one tries to put across as this world being the greatest thing to which we can attain. There are many deceptions promoted upon young people today. It comes in many, many forms. Everybody wants us to feel good. Everybody wants us to have a party. Everybody wants us to deny responsibility. We have many things that bombard us every day. One of the phrases I hear in commercials every day at home when somebody is trying to sell me something I don't need, they say, "You deserve it." If I had everything I deserve, God be merciful to me, the sinner. We need to be guided by the instruments that God has provided for us. To navigate our way through this life and into the kingdom of heaven. St. Paul tells us our citizenship is in heaven. St. Peter tells us that we are only strangers and pilgrims in this world. And so we need to be guided by those things that God has provided for us to navigate our way through this world in an effective manner. When I was in seminary years ago, we had a guest speaker come to tell us about a group called the Navigators. And they were a group which helped guide young people in their desire to follow Christ. And he was a bomber pilot during the Second World War. And he told this story that when he was flying.
Și povestea odată despre cum era în perioada în care era.
If his squadron came back and some had not made it back yet,
dacă eșecul se întorcea și unul dintre camarazi nu se întorcea să reușească să supraviețuiască,
they would refuel their planes and go back to find their lost comrade. And one day, there was one who was late coming back. And the squadron went out to find him. When they spotted him, they saw that he wasn't in much danger. Just a little slow, having missing one engine. So they decided to play a trick on him. They all turned their airplanes upside down. And flew upside down. When their friends saw them coming to him, and may I clarify, it is easy if one does not pay attention to the instruments to actually be flying upside down and not know it.
Și am mai foarte ușor pentru cineva care nu se uită atent la perioadă, care nu se uită la instrumentul de bord, să zboare cu sus fără să-și dea seama.
So when he saw all his friends coming and they were upside down,
așa că atunci când a văzut toți prietenii se întorceau, se apropiau de ea de cu burta în sus,
he did not look at his instrument panel,
nu se uită la bordul cu instrumente,
but assumed that they were right and he was wrong. So he flipped his plane upside down, thinking that he was upside down and was now turning himself right upside down. And when he flipped his plane upside down, his buddies contacted him on the radio and laughed and said, "Gotcha!" But if he would have looked at his instrument panel, he would have seen that he was right and they were wrong. So in the same manner, we need to pay attention to the instruments God has given us to navigate through this world. Now may I ask you, what are some of those instruments God has provided for us? Anyone?
The
Ten Commandments.
The Bible.
The Bible.
Prayer.
Prayer.
The Holy Mysteries.
The Holy Mysteries. How about another big one? There's the Church. There are the Holy Fathers. There are our dear fathers in Christ. There are faithful teachers and professors. All who love Christ. Your spiritual father and confessor. All these things God has provided for us to guide us through a difficult world. Now I want to go back and speak about what happened at the fall with Adam and Eve a little bit. Before the fall, Adam and Eve were in full communion with God. God spoke directly to man, and man spoke directly to God. And when the fall occurred, all that changed, and man became estranged from God. When God said to Adam and Eve, "Where art thou?" Because they hid themselves in fear. He was not asking for information. He was asking them to confess. When we have this estrangement from God, we have to make that right.
Make that right, as in
change it back. God provided that method by sending His Son, Jesus Christ. To live the obedience that Adam and Eve could not live. And as an innocent victim, become the payment for our sins. I have this ongoing argument with a friend of mine. As to what is the most important feast on the Christian calendar. He says that it is Pascha. Easter.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to me. And I say that it is the Incarnation. The reason why we have this dispute is because Pascha is necessary for us in the place where we are. Without Pascha, there could be no receiving, being received into the kingdom of heaven. And he is right. But at the same time, somebody sent us Morse code. In the ideal situation, the Christ would have come incarnate if Adam and Eve had not fallen. Because he would be there to demonstrate the true union of God with man that God created man to achieve. And so we call this union with God and man in Greek theosis. And in the fall, before Adam and Eve could be restored by confession, at least partially restored.
Through confession, you said?
Through their confession and yeah. Taking the coats of skins.
Yes. Prin mărturisirea și prin faptul că și-au luat trupurile de carne.
The animal skins that God provided Adam and Eve to cover their nakedness.
Pielele animale pe care Dumnezeu le-a oferit oamenilor ca să se acopere.
Was showing beforehand what Christ would do for us.
Era de fapt o prezentare înainte de faptul de a se întâmpla, aceea ce l-a face să se întâmple.
Part of the effects of the fall.
O parte din efectele păcatului original.
Is the fact that we were created originally with virtues.
Este faptul că deși noi am fost creat inițial cu virtuți.
And when Adam and Eve fell, the virtues were turned into what we call the passions.
Virtuțile în momentul după păcatul original au fost transformate în ceea ce numim acum pasiuni.
And it is the passions that very much rule the heart of man today.
Și pasiunile sunt cele care, în mare măsură, stăpânesc inima omenească în zilele noastre.
Reading from St. John of the Ladder, St. John Climacus.
Of the Ladder?
Ladder as climbing a ladder.
Ladder, yeah.
The passions as being originally the virtues turned upside down. He writes this. God gave us seed for childbearing, which is natural. We have perverted it for fornication. He gave us anger to war against the devil. And we turned that anger against our neighbor. To excel in virtue is natural. Instead, we compete in evil. We have resentment against the enemies of our souls. Which is natural. But we have turned it against our friends in jealousy.
Dar aceste sentimente le-am întors împotriva prietenilor noștri prin gelozie.
We have a natural desire for pleasure.
Avem o dorință firească pentru plăcere.
But we have turned it into profligacy.
This is a term I don't
know. Okay. Unnatural excess.
Dar nu, am întors aceasta în excesivitate. Da.
We have a natural desire for glory of a heavenly kind.
Avem o dorință firească pentru
But instead, we seek the world's glory and fame. Therefore, what we are exhorted to do, to turn the passions back into the virtues. Is to keep the commandments of Christ. This is the first step on the way to theosis, or union with God. It is called the purification of the heart. The passions are not to be destroyed, but they are to be converted back into the virtues. The passions are attracted to the evil one. The virtues are immune to him and cause him to flee away. As St. James writes, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Our souls have been turned upside down by the fall and sin. So what we understand today as being normal is really a perversion. St. Paul talks about the natural man. And in that context, he's talking about man in his fallen state. The true natural man. And when I say man, I mean mankind. Is a man filled with the virtues. Because this is the way he was created. And if we can understand this perversion, we will be better equipped to fight against it. In this illustration, we have a heart, the human heart, divided into three categories. Now, the white part and the red part, so it's two major categories, but three overall.
Sunt de fapt trei categorii principale, dar trei totuși.
This is what we call the reasonable part of the soul.
Asta este partea pe care numim partea rațională a sufletului.
And refers much to the intellect.
Și se referă la partea intelectuală.
In the vernacular, brains.
Intelligent.
The nous is a Greek word which means literally the window of the soul. It is used 22 times in the New Testament. Most often translated mind, and a few times understanding. But what it truly is the window of the soul. This is the way the soul is when Adam and Eve were created. The noose was upturned toward God. And God could speak to Adam and Eve through an upturned noose. And what happened was, God spoke to Adam and Eve and nourished them. By his word. Let us go back to the first temptation of Christ in the wilderness in Matthew chapter 4. The evil one said, "Since you are the Son of God, turn these stones into bread." And the Christ replied, "What?" Man shall not live by bread alone. And how does he finish that? But by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So, this being the intelligible part of the soul, and this portion, the red portion, because it consists of the passions, and passions we think of red as in red flag in front of the bull.
Și această parte roșie a sufletului care constă din patim și ne gândim la culoarea roșie ca ajutată foarte momentală.
These are what we call the passible parts of the soul.
Passible?
Passible referring to, or passionate.
Okay. Aceasta este partea pătimașă a sufletului.
And so, these are the will and the emotions. So when God spoke to Adam and Eve, the nourishment came in through the noose in the intelligible part of the soul. The intelligent part fed the rest of the soul, the virtues and the will. And the soul in turn fed the body. And man was not required to eat so much. And so we have in our holy tradition, blessed saints like Saint Mary of Egypt. Who lived only on the Eucharist and nothing else, as it was brought to her by Saint Zosimus in the desert. And so when I say that man shall not, or Christ says man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth from the mouth of God, someone like Saint Mary of Egypt proves that it is possible for us what happened in the fall is that the noose was turned inward. Mankind's soul turned inward on itself. Even the Roman Catholic theologian Martin Luther acknowledged the fact that man's soul was curved inward. So now the noose and the intelligible part of the soul is closed off from God. The intelligible part of the soul, the Word of God, can no longer feed the soul. So the soul, instead of providing nourishment for the body, now goes and seeks its nourishment from the body. And the body, needing to be fed, turns outward to the world. And we lust after the things of the world to feed the flesh, which then in turn is able to feed the soul. And the soul is being fed from the world. When we come to Christ, we are given the ability to turn the noose back upward. So that we may be back in communication with God. And it's a three-step process, which starts with the keeping of the commandments of Christ, called the purification of the heart. The word in Greek for repentance is metanoia. And metanoia is a compound word. The word meta is a preposition, which means across or change. And noia comes from the word noose. So many times we think of repentance as change the mind, because this is the way noose is translated in the New Testament. But if we think of it as change the noose, we are changing it back to its proper place. The purification of the heart is an ongoing process that will never end for us. But we will reach the second step, hopefully, if we pursue it with all our heart, which is called the illumination of the noose. At a certain point, God's uncreated energies His uncreated light will come in and cleanse the soul. And as the soul is continuing to be cleansed, eventually we reach the third step, which is actual theosis or union with God. And this is where God speaks once again directly to the heart of man. Okay. What I'm doing here is I'm trying to show the wallpaper on my computer. It is a picture of St. John Maximovich celebrating the liturgy in Tunisia in
1954.
And what you can see, hopefully, is the uncreated halo of light coming forth from his around his head. When the iconographers wrote icons of the saints, and put halos around their heads, they were painting what they actually saw, and not just some cute way of saying this is a saint. So I hope you can all see this, because I have, once I discovered this picture, I kept it on my wallpaper of my computer. To remind me of the place to which I want to reach. What we need to do is put the noose back in its proper place in order to restore our eternal relationship with God, so that we may truly live in the kingdom of heaven here on earth. How many here are theological students? Two. We talked about a person being a theologian. But the Holy Mother Church has only named four theologians in its whole history. Can anybody name the four theologians in church history? St. Gregory the theologian, St. Gregory Nazianzus, St. Simeon the new theologian. That's two. No. St. John the theologian of the fourth gospel. And the fourth one is St. Gregory Palamas. These are the only four men in church history who have been called rightly theologians. And the reason why they were called theologians is because they live in theosis, union with God. Now, as I said, the human soul is in three parts, which is the intellect, the will, and the passions or the emotions. And what we need, please forgive me. And what we need to do is put the human person, the human soul, in the proper order. And the proper order is this. The intellect, or the mind, determines what should be done. The will carries out the determination of the intellect. And the emotions are the well done, thou good and faithful servant. The emotions are to give us the understanding that we have done well with our intellect and will. But in our fallen state, we have allowed the emotions to make the decisions. I need to illustrate this once again. Railroad tracks. Oh, that's my. Yes. There we go. This is the intellect. It provides the fuel. This is the will. I put it backwards. This is the emotions. Backwards again. When we have these set in the proper order, the intellect gives the fuel to the will to go forward in the proper direction. And the caboose pulls up the rear. The last car on the train. Now we have to understand that the tracks are important. The train cannot go anywhere unless it has tracks. People want to say in this modern world that the train needs to be free. Free it of the restrictive tracks. So that it can go anywhere it wishes. But what happens when we take a real locomotive off the tracks and set it on the pavement. What happens? It won't go anywhere. How many know how to have or have ever flown a kite? We have a string on the kite. And as we hold the kite by the string, it soars through the air. But someone will say, let go of the string and let the kite be free. What happens to the kite when we let go of the string? Kaboomski. Exactly. And so we need the tracks on the train to give us the right direction. And this goes back to the instruments by which we are guided. We follow the church and the holy fathers and the holy tradition. The scriptures, our father confessor and our spiritual father, our holy fathers in Christ, then we have the right tracks to go in the right direction. The mind and intellect have the right fuel. To fuel the will to go in the right direction. And the train can go anywhere it wants within the scope of our Father in Heaven's will. It can go up hills. It can go down hills. It can go around or through mountains. We can go wherever God wants us to go. But what happens if we allow the caboose, the emotions, to pull the train? Where does the train go when the emotions pull the train? The opposite direction or backward? Backward and what? No, backward and downhill. Very good. Backward and downhill, and we crash. Because we are going backward and downhill with no control in our life. Now suppose, just for a moment, that we are in a position of leadership and have the care of other souls in our care. Then we pull others with us to the kingdom of heaven. But if we allow the emotions to control us, then how much greater is the train wreck? And this is why we must have the will and the intellect and emotions put in the proper perspective with one another, and use that which we know to be true from what we have been taught by Holy Church and Holy Tradition and the Holy Fathers and all the instruments that God has provided for us in order to go in the right direction and to respond properly to the world in which we live.
Deci așa este important ca sufletul să fie organizat în ordinea corectă și să folosim instrumentele pe care Dumnezeu ne-a dat ca să navigăm din lume. I think the last part of your phrase was just
my mind. Slipped mine too.
But cred că suntem ok, nu?
Excuse me, I divert just for 1 second. Does anybody know the definition of a lecture? It is the passing of the professor's notes to the student's notebook. Without having passed through the mind of either one. This is why, unfortunately, liberal theologians today in Protestantism fall out of the ministry very quickly. Because they preach their professor's notes for 2 or 3 years. And then they have nothing left because they have no relationship with God. Many Protestant theologians and pastors today are not sure whether God even exists. And they wear a clerical robe. God help them. In this illustration, again, the tracks are the safeguard that we need. One great help that we can do for ourselves in all of life and believe me, I am getting to marriage we have an expression in America. This poor young lady will not understand it. But we say, I'm going by way of Fifth and Jibbit.
I don't understand.
That means, why go the direct route when you can go all around town? One thing that we can do to help ourselves in every aspect of life, and especially in our pursuit of marriage. Is to make a clear distinction between thoughts and feelings and value judgments. These are 3 distinct things. But many, many times we say, I feel like I don't want to do this. Or I don't feel like it. When we really mean, I think I do not want to do this. Or we make a value judgment and say, this is not worthy of my time. But we substitute feelings for thoughts. Mostly this is because we do not want to share our real feelings with other people. And this is especially disastrous when we enter into the marriage relationship and not share who we really are. Now, let us say that you are set for an exam tomorrow morning at 7 o'clock in the morning. The alarm clock goes off at 6 o'clock. Do you say within yourself, there is nothing I'd rather do than jump out of bed and take that exam? Or do you look at the alarm clock and say, dirty bar, and want to hit the snooze button and go back to sleep? But your intellect takes over. And you think, if I don't get out of this bed, I'm going to fail the course. And mom and dad won't pay the bill. So we allow the thoughts, our intellect, to take over and cause us to do what is right, even though our feelings are contrary.
Așa că permitem gândurilor, mintii noastre să creia conducerea și să determine ceea ce vom face, chiar dacă sentimentele noastre se opun.
And so we need to understand that if we guide ourselves by what we know to be true,
așa că e important să înțelegem că dacă ne ghidăm după ceea ce știm că este adevărat,
as opposed to what we feel at a given moment, then we guide ourselves in a right way. The evil one is out to deceive us, and he uses the emotions and feelings to be his chief instruments of deception. So consequently, when we look at certain things that are appealing in this world, they will appeal to our feelings and emotions. And we need to evaluate these things with the mind. Conditioned with the proper understanding that we get from the Holy Church. Sometimes I don't feel like it. is really an attempt to avoid responsibility. The world wants everybody to be a victim and take no responsibility. Just as an example, in our country, a lady bought a cup of coffee from McDonald's.
Oh.
You know McDonald's?
Yeah.
She was in her car and got it through the drive-thru. She set the coffee on her lap. And it spilled and burned her. She sued McDonald's for $400,000 because the cup did not say the coffee is hot. This is the world in which we live, where people want to take away our personal responsibility. God help us in the United States. We have a president who wants to put everybody in the country dependent upon the government. And take away personal freedom and personal responsibility and initiative. And we can be drawn in to things that are not good for us. If we allow ourselves to become comfortable, in a life of irresponsibility, and a life that is controlled by the passions. Again, the world is upside down. The evil one wants us to think what is abnormal is normal. In Isaiah chapter 5 and verse 20, he says, "Woe unto them that call evil good." And call good evil. That put darkness for light. And light for darkness. That put bitter for sweet. And sweet for bitter. So the message of the evil one through the world is follow your emotions, your passions, because they are natural. And we know that today, at least in our country, they push for everything to be green. And people try to live in such a way as to not destroy the earth, as if people could really destroy the earth in terms of using common products.
și tot în această situație, în așa fel încât să nu distrugă pământul, de parcă oamenii ar putea să distrugă pământul prin common products, you mean?
Gasoline.
Oh, right.
Things like that.
Prin, pur și simplu, prin utilizarea lucrurilor obișnuite, cum ar fi benzină.
One volcano eruption spews out more pollution than all the internal combustion engines ever have put
forth.
And there are people who literally advocate we need to save the planet by destroying people. That people are the chief cause of pollution and we should annihilate the population of the earth in order to let the planet be free. And this is how bad it has gotten in an upside down world. We who are created in the image and likeness of God and were given the responsibility to fulfill the commandment of God to replenish the earth and to have control over it are now being told that it's more natural to destroy humankind. So the physical aspect of, and now I'm getting to the point. The aim of the evil one is to excite the passions and to lead young couples into sin.
Scopul diavolului este să atâtă patinile și să îndrepte cuplurile tinere către păcat.
By saying we need to do what comes naturally.
Spunem că trebuie să facem ceea ce vine natural și ce ne vine firesc.
So if we feel a physical attraction,
deci dacă simțim o atracție fizică,
that we should pursue it in the physical realm,
trebuie să îi dăm curs în mediul fizic.
Because it is natural. When I was your age, back in the dark ages, we had problems with once in a while a male teacher trying to pursue a female student. And we thought this was perverse. My generation never dreamed that female teachers would pursue their male grade school students.
În generația mea, nici nu am putut imagina ca profesoarele să se apropie de elevi de liceu.
It is unbelievable where we have come today and what kind of behavior has become acceptable and called natural. So the evil one is seeking to lead young couples into sin. Pursuing what supposedly comes natural.
to dać się po prostu urmęza się, że jestem nim autorem.
The physical aspect of a relationship is not its core. The physical will always wear out with age. And this is why, at least American women, are so consumed with looking young and beautiful. And thin. Because they're afraid that their husbands or prospective husbands will not want them. If they don't look like a fashion model. And this is a terrible tragedy. What we need to remember is that we should pursue the spiritual and the rational, which will endure for eternity. I'm sorry, the rational and the spiritual. In the spiritual pursuits, when one is looking for a proper spouse, we should see the relationship as a triangle. I am here. My wife is here. And by the way, did I say I've been married for 40 years? How can I be when I'm only 25? And the third top point of the triangle is Christ. So that as we individually pursue holiness in Christ, we naturally grow closer together. And in looking at the rational, we have and you can read the quote in my book. We'll be passing out books later, God willing. A young lady who writes a column in our Sunday magazines. Who has the highest reported intelligence quotient ever recorded? Was asked the question, is it possible to fall in love with the other person's mind and not their physical beauty? And her answer was, you bet. And she says, anything else will fade away. But when you fall in love with one's mind, then you have something that will continue to grow and last forever and never wear out. We all get old and gray, but in the Hollywood crowd in my country,
în societatea inspirată de Hollywood din toate neamurile.
The male actors
actorii
as they age they get another facelift and color their hair and trade in the old wife on a new model. Like one would trade in a car for a new model. The most used grounds for divorce in our country at least is the grounds of incompatibility, which means nothing. It means I'm tired of this one, I need a new one. And now we have even women, older women, pursuing younger men, which you may be familiar with the term, they're called cougars.
Și acum există și această tendință că femei mai vârstă caută și doresc să bărbați mai tineri și probabil că sunteți familiarizați cu termenul, dar ca și se traduc că e pantera cougar.
A cougar is an animal of prey.
Da, un animal de prey.
And so what we're called to do is going back to this illustration. The Holy Fathers tell us that we are to set a guard on the noose. Because as it is still downturned and still being the window of the soul, it is through it which impulses come into the human person. And when the impulse comes in, the guard stops it and says, where do you come from? Up or down? If it is down, we reject it. If it is from God, we give it free access. If we do not guard the noose, then we have a problem because the impulse then reaches the mind. And if we do not filter it out there, then we enter into what the fathers call fantasia. Where we begin to fantasize about this thought. And it causes the emotions and the passions to run wild. And we act upon this evil thought. Fantasy turns to lust. And lust is sin. And then the lust turns into physical action.
Și atunci dorința se transformă în acțiune fizică.
And the sin is compounded.
Și păcatul este înlăturat.
We remember that Christ taught us that if a man hate his brother in his heart, we have already murdered him. And we are not punished by the civil authorities. Unless we commit the physical act. But God holds us responsible for the thought process which led to the conceiving of the action. And so today we have to have our defenses set against all the onslaughts of the devil. I know in our country, students are under very much pressure to achieve good grades and by their peers to be out partying all night. So many young people from good families take the advice of their friends to just take this little pill and it will keep you up all night and you can study. And unfortunately, some of these good young people become drug addicts. And on the partying side, there is the pressure to drink alcohol. Quite in excess. And then if the alcohol and the drugs are mixed, a mother and father must come and find the body of their dear child who was brought into something of which they did not know. Because it all started with wanting to fit in. And the phrase, everybody does it. Which is another way of saying it's natural. And so there are many, many ways to fall into bad habits. We have many movies today which are more than suggestive of evil things.
Se difuzează multe filme zilele noastre care sunt mai multe sugestive pentru lucruri rele.
I'm reminded of a story of a young girl who brought a boy to her house.
Despre o fată care a adus și-a adus prietenul acasă
with several other couples. And the suggestion was made that they watch a movie. The movie was more than suggestive, and the couples wound up committing fornication.
Și toate lucrurile au ajuns să desfășoare.
Because of their passions being stirred by the movie. And after it was all over, and the young girl thought about it, her comment was, I really didn't even particularly like the guy. But she invited him into her bed because her passions were stirred. And probably did not have the holy traditions to help her fight against those passions. Music today is highly suggestive. We have in our country music that is called rap music. Are you familiar with it? They use bad words, refer to females with highly derogatory terms. And promote things which are ungodly. And are excused by the fact of free speech. But these things, we hear them, and they come into our minds. We take in things through the senses. Through the ear gate and the eye gate. And these images are very difficult to remove from us. The evil one will use them to make us think on them at the worst possible times. I cannot tell you how disturbing it is to me. When I am celebrating the liturgy at home, and the evil one will cause a thought from my previous life, and I don't mean reincarnation, I mean my life outside of Christ. And caused me to have a flashback or a thought of something from that time. Which is ungodly. And I have to say to myself the Jesus prayer and get thee behind me, Satan. And pray God that God will remove this from my mind. It's bad enough if I were in a car or at home, but serving the liturgy is especially bad. The modern way of approaching things is with what we call the dating process. But what we need to do is get back to a courting process. Where the physical contact is restrained Because if I love somebody, then I do not want to excite the passions in them.
De fapt, nu doresc să atât starmele din acea persoană.
And cause them or myself to lust after things that are reserved only for marriage.
Și să mi se întâmplă mine sau celuilalt să îmi doresc lucruri care sunt rezervate numai căsătoriei.
And so when, at least in the evangelical Protestant tradition and in our Orthodox Church at home,
și cel puțin în tradiția protestantismului evanghelic și al bisericii ortodoxe de acasă,
when a couple is joined in holy matrimony,
atunci când un cuplu se unește în Sfânta Comunie,
the priest says at the end of the ceremony, you may now kiss the bride. Because as we say, in order to kiss, you gotta have a license. What would happen if you were driving a car and did not have a driver's license and were stopped by the police? That'd be no good ski. He would be arrested. And so we understand that to presume to ourselves as ones who are not married the privileges and prerogatives of married people. Is like operating a car without a license. In liberal theological settings, wanting to get churches to join together, of which, thank God, the Orthodox refuses to participate, instead of talking about what we have in common doctrinally, as the primary place to begin, liberal theologians want to start with communion first. Holy Communion, Eucharist.
Yeah, right. Cu Sfânta.
And one cannot participate in the Eucharist in Holy Communion.
Și o persoană nu poate să ia parte la Sfânta Părtășanie.
Without sharing the same faith.
Fără a împărtăși și aceeași credință.
But they want to start with communion and then try to work out the differences later. This is in essence what happens when we put the physical relationship in dating and courtship.
În esență, același lucru se întâmplă atunci când pui în cursul întâlnirilor și al curții, când pui pe prim plan partea fizică.
Ahead of the spiritual and intellectual.
Înainte de partea spirituală și intelectuală.
And in the worst cases,
și în cele mai rare cazuri,
a baby is conceived.
Este conceput un copil.
A marriage is then forced.
Este forțat apoi comunia.
and then two strangers who have not much in common are forced to live together as one flesh.
Și atunci doi străini care nu au lucru în comun sunt forțați să trăiască împreună ca un singur trup.
And we have a disaster.
Și rezultă un dezastru.
In the world situation today,
în situația din lumea din zilele noastre,
the divorce rate is approaching 60%. And that means that 6 out of 10 marriages will fail. And it does not stop across different lines. Christian, non-Christian.
Și lucrul ăsta se întâmplă în toate confesiunile, fie creștine sau non-creștine.
Orthodox, non-orthodox. It's still approaching 60%.
Peste tot există aceeași rată de divorțuri.
Marriage in God's perspective.
Căsătoria în ochii lui Dumnezeu.
Is an eternal relationship. In Protestant marriage ceremonies, they say, until death do you part. But in reality, Christ taught that marriage is eternal. I will know my dear wife of 40 years. For all eternity. She is the one whom God has chosen for me. Excuse me, I'm crying because I remember how badly I have treated her in the past. She is the one whom God has chosen to help me attain the kingdom of God. And I am the one that God has chosen for her to help her attain the kingdom of God. In the church we have sacraments.
În biserică sunt Sfintele Taine.
And we speak of 7 major sacraments.
Și vorbim despre cele 7 taine principale.
But in truth, there are millions of sacraments. 7 major. But many, many others. In the sacrament of holy matrimony, we enter into a sacramental relationship. And I want to share with you a very simple definition of what a sacrament is. A sacrament is the ministering of grace one to another.
Este de fapt împărțirea și oferta slavei lui Dumnezeu unul către celălalt.
And so in the marriage relationship,
deci, în cursul relației adunării căsătoriei,
we have the opportunity to minister grace one to another.
Avem oportunitatea, privilegiul de a ne oferi slavă unul altuia.
On a continuing daily basis. And we become sacramental beings.
Și devenim ființe sacramentale.
as we experience the richness and deepness of the sacrament of holy matrimony.
Pe măsură ce trăim și simțim bogăția Sfintei Taine a Căsătoriei.
In the sacrament of holy matrimony, we are co-creators with God the Father. We participate in the creation of human life. God created Adam and Eve out of the dust. And from that point forward, all of the rest of creation was created by men and women. And so we enter into the creation process and become co-creators with God the Father if we fulfill that commitment He has given us to fill and replenish the earth.
Deci am urmat porunca lui Dumnezeu de a umple pământul, dar atunci devenim împreună creatori cu Dumnezeu.
And we are taught in the scriptures
și se spune în Sfintele Scripturi
that children are the Lord's heritage.
Că copiii sunt moștenirea lui Dumnezeu, moștenirea lui Dumnezeu.
Our children are not our own.
Copiii nu sunt ai noștri.
They are God's children.
Sunt copiii lui Dumnezeu.
He lends them to us to raise for Him.
Pentru a naște creștere pentru El.
My wife and I have one child only. He passed away several years ago as complications from a heart transplant. But he left us four grandchildren who are the joy of our life. And we treat them as our own children as well. In terms of helping raise them for God's glory. One of the worst tragedies in divorce is what happens to the children. In my country, many people use the children as bargaining chips. In order to get more out of the divorce settlement. Children are treated in our country many times as nuisances.
Copiii de multe ori sunt tratați în Statele Unite ca și neplăceri.
We have a generation of children called latchkey children.
Avem o generație care se numesc copii
door lock.
Meaning the
parents give the children a key to come home after school with nobody else home. And they are left to their own devices. What's on the television? What's on the radio?
Ce e la televizor, ce e la radio.
What is brought over by a friend?
Ceea ce este adus de către un prieten acasă.
And the parents do not really care.
Acestea sunt lucrurile care sunt expuse și părinților nu le prea.
Because they are in pursuit of worldly pursuits.
Pentru că ei de fapt sunt în căutarea slavă lumești, a lucrurilor lumești.
The rich throw money at their children.
Persoanele bogate își înnacă copiii în bani.
The poor tend to use corporal punishment, paddle, belt, slap, punch.
Persoanele sărace folosesc cu precădere pedeapsa corporală.
To control their children. Not realizing that they are the ones responsible for bringing up the children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And just speaking for a second about that word admonition.
I
knew that. I'm sorry. St. Paul tells us in Colossians to bring up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Admonition means in the original to place into the noose. It means to place the right things into the child's window of his soul. In other words, the parents are encouraged to nurture the souls of their children. And so the children are sacrificed for the worldly pursuit.
Și deci copiii sunt cei sacrificați în cursul acestei căutări al lucrurilor lumești.
And the parents are held responsible before God.
Și părinții vor fi trași la răspundere față de Dumnezeu.
So this is why it is so important.
Deci de aceea este atât de important.
To pursue the spiritual and the intellectual in the relationship.
Să căutăm aspectul spiritual și aspectul intelectual al relației.
And put away the physical.
Și să o punem deoparte partea fizică.
Until you have a license.
Până când avem permis.
And so the physical aspect of the marriage is like the caboose on the train.
Și deci partea fizică a unei căsătorii este ca acel ultim vagon al trenului.
It must follow in its proper place.
Care trebuie să știe locul și să urmeze direcția corectă.
No one needs to lower oneself.
Nimeni nu trebuie să se lăsească.
To hold on to something. That is not worth holding on to. Girls do not have to sacrifice their morals for a boy's attention.
Fetele nu au nevoie să sacrifice moralitatea pentru atenția unui băiat.
Boys do not have to sacrifice their whole lives to attain a girl's attention.
Băieții nu trebuie să-și sacrifice toată viața pentru a obține atenția unui băiat.
Boys and girls are the same in one sense.
Atât fetele cât și băieții sunt la fel în zona unui de vedere.
And I don't mean to make this an overall statement, but in general. They're both just as scared of each other. And so, to express oneself and express one's inner core beliefs.
Și deci pentru a se exprima și pentru a-și exprima credințele cele mai adânci.
And not be ashamed of them.
Și să nu se rușineze cu ele.
Will quickly separate the men from the boys. Boys like to date the party girl. But when they mature, they want to marry the deacon's daughter. And the party girl is left holding the bag.
Holding the bag? It's an expression.
So. Yes. Left on the outside.
Right.
And we do not have to sacrifice our principles to obtain something that is not worth having. We hold out for that which God has ordained for us. And so we want to remember that the marriage relationship is to mirror the relationship of the Holy Trinity. In the Holy Trinity, we have three persons with one common essence. In the marriage relationship, we have two persons who become one flesh. So this makes the sacrament of holy matrimony that much more special. That our relationship should reflect the love of the Holy Trinity. When I'm going back to not sacrificing principles, when I first met my wife, my dear wife, whose name is Mary Patty, she took St. Mary of Bethany as her saint's name at chrismation. I smiled at her and she smiled at me as I was walking by where she was standing. And I told my friend whom I was with, "You go along, I'm going back here." And I started to talk with her and asked her if she would like to go out with me. And she said very plainly, "We have a rule in our house. The first date with any of my parents' daughters must be the church." And then she said to me, "You do go to church, don't you?" And I said, "Who, me?" "Oh, yes, of course I do." And I didn't. I knew nothing of Christ. I knew nothing of God's love for me. I knew nothing of what riches were in store for those who love Christ. And I said, "Sure, we'll go to church." And we went. And she said, "I don't care for him so much." And I asked her to go out with me again. And she said, "Okay." We went out a second time. And she thought, Well, he's not that bad. And then we went out the third time, and she said, maybe he's all right. And eventually, we became engaged to be married. But I still had not found Christ. And her parents welcomed me warmly. And as we continued to go to church, my body was in church, but my mind was on the football field. And I would think to myself, hurry up, preacher, it's almost kickoff time. Until one day, as I was standing in the back, and the pastor said, anyone who would like to accept Christ, please come forward.
Și pastorul a spus că oricine dorește să accepte pe Hristos să vină afară.
I experienced a very small taste of theosis.
Am simțit o mică senzație a ceea ce înseamnă theosis.
Before I knew there was any such thing.
Înainte chiar de a ști că exista așa ceva.
Because a voice said in my head,
pentru că o voce în mintea mea a zis,
he's talking to you. You better get up there now. Yes, you. He's talking to you. You need to go up there now. There it is. And I came forward and accepted Christ as my Savior. And I had a great awakening in my life. And I say, thank God that He pursued me enough to bring me to the Holy Orthodox Church.
Și slavă lui Dumnezeu că a insistat în ceea ce ne privește ca să mă aducă la Sfânta Biserică Ortodoxă.
And we have been married for 40 years now.
Și iată, suntem căsătorii de 40 de ani.
And we have had only, as I say, one child.
Și am avut, după cum am zis, un singur copil.
But God has blessed us with many spiritual children. Ever since we've become Orthodox. And that is as much as and even more of a blessing than having one's own children. And when I became a Christian, I had no idea of going into the ministry. But God changed my mind. But I'll save that story for another time. But thanks be to God, I am here by His grace. And I am here because my dear wife did not sacrifice her principles for a dope like me.
Și mă aflu aici pentru că, slavă lui Dumnezeu, draga mea soție nu și-a sacrificat principiile pentru un prostan ca mine.
In my state when I met her,
în starea în care mă aflam când am cunoscut-o,
I was not worth her time.
Nu meritam să-și folosească timpul cu mine.
But she gave me the time because she knew Christ in her heart. And was raised in a godly family.
și pentru că fusese crescută într-o familie acoperită de Dumnezeu.
We became engaged and set a wedding date.
Și am stabilit ziua nuntei.
And her mother and father were willing to go through with it.
Și părinții ei erau de acord cu aceasta.
Up until the point when the preacher said, "Is there any reason why these two should not be joined in holy matrimony?"
Atunci când tatăl a spus, există vreun motiv pentru care aceștia doi să nu se unească în Sfânta Comunie?
And if I had not accepted Christ before that time,
și dacă eu nu aș fi acceptat pe Hristos înainte de acel moment,
they were going to stand up and stop the wedding.
Urmau ca ei să se ridice și să oprească nuntă.
And say, "My daughter should not marry a non-Christian."
Și să spună că fiica noastră nu ar trebui să se căsătorească cu un necreștin.
But thanks be to God, we didn't get through that embarrassing moment.
Da, slavă Lui Dumnezeu că n-am ajuns în acea situație.
We are all still maturing.
Suntem cu toții într-un proces de creștere, de maturizare.
And we're all going through a series of transitions in our lives.
Și trecem cu toții printr-o serie de tranziții în viața noastră.
Hormones are a wonderful thing.
Hormonii sunt un lucru minunat.
But they can be wicked at times.
Dar pot să fie foarte rău.
And those hormones contribute to the emotional state.
Și acești hormoni participă la stările emoționale.
That tries to control us.
Care încearcă să ne controleze.
And we are told that those hormones are natural.
Și se spune că hormonii sunt un lucru natural.
And we should follow what is natural.
Și ar trebui să facem ceea ce ne vine firesc, ceea ce ne vine natural.
But we cannot. And many times when we think that a relationship breaks up, as a young person, especially in high school, or even in college, we think it's the greatest tragedy in the world. And we will never recover from it. But thanks be to God, I don't know how many tragedies I've recovered from in those days. To find the right one who will help me attain the kingdom of God.
Până acum am ajuns să împărtășesc pe cea potrivită care să mă ajute să caut împărăția lui Dumnezeu.
And whom God has chosen for me to help find the kingdom of God.
Și pe care Dumnezeu mi-a ales-o ca să mă ajute să caut împărăția lui Dumnezeu.
We need to build a strong sense within ourselves in order to maintain our principles.
Strong sense.
I'm sorry, I need to give you a predicate, don't I? Or something to hang that on.
No, with a strong sense of...
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, you have to put something at the end of the preposition, don't you? We need to build a strong sense of whose you are.
Oh, sorry. I didn't know you were getting into that.
That's
all right. Da, trebuie să fim foarte siguri de răspunsul la întrebarea al cui ești tu, cui aparții tu.
The world wants us to be fully aware of who we are in terms of what we deserve and things like that.
Lumea care ne înconjoară dorește ca noi să fim foarte clar asupra aspectului a ceea ce suntem noi, în sensul că ce avem.
But it is more important to understand whose we are.
Dar este mai important să ne dăm seama cui îi aparținem, ai cui suntem.
In other words, to whom do we belong?
Cui aparținem, deci.
Oh, probably always said that. Okay. God is continually reshaping us as we mature.
Dumnezeu ne modelează în mod continuu pe măsură ce ne maturizăm.
tell me who knows the age at which women fully mature?
Cine știe care este vârsta la care femeile se maturizează complet?
Yes. At what age does a woman fully mature according to psychological studies? 28. At what age does a man fully mature according to the same studies? No, it's not 160.
No,
it's 30. So when sometimes we think if we're not married by 18, we are an old maid. Or as a male, nobody will want an old man. We are still in the maturing process until 28 and 30 years old, respectively. So we're in the process of maturing, and as we mature, we need to get a grasp on the control of the emotions, putting them in their proper place, and allowing the Spirit of God to fuel our minds and our spirits to move our will in the proper direction.
Și pe măsură ce ne maturizăm, este important să ne punem emoțiile la locul lor și să căpătăm control asupra lor și să permitem lui Dumnezeu să ne dea vânt, să dea vânt minții noastre pentru a se duce în direcția potrivită.
We tend to look at ourselves as young people, at least I did when I was younger.
Avem tendința să ne privim ca
and yes, I can remember all that way back. That we were more concerned about pimples on the face, a nose that was crooked, one eye was maybe higher than the other, or we had ears like Dumbo the elephant. And this is what we concentrated on. But remember, the scripture teaches us that man looketh on the outward appearance. Man looks on the outward physical being.
Dacă omul se uită la aspectul exterior,
but God looks on the heart.
Dar Dumnezeu se uită la inimă.
This is how he chose King David.
Așa l-a ales pe regele David.
Jesse, David's father,
tatăl lui David,
paraded his 7 proud sons in front of Samuel the prophet.
I-a expus pe cei 7 frați mai mari în fața profetului Samuel.
And God rejected them all.
Și Dumnezeu i-a respins pe toți.
And he said to Jesse, Samuel said to Jesse,
și Samuel i-a spus tatălui Dan,
are there any more sons?
Mai sunt și alții?
And Jesse replied, yes, the little runt who's out taking care of the sheep.
Și a răspuns că, da, este băiețelul care păzește oile.
And he was ordered to bring David before Samuel.
Și s-a cerut să aducă pe David în fața lui Samuel.
And that is when Samuel said that man looketh on the outward, but God looketh on the heart. And he chose David. And David slew the giant Goliath. So don't be afraid to be in the maturing process. And understand that God is not finished with any one of us yet. Look for someone who will help you to mature and attain the kingdom of God. If we pray and we use our minds and our powers of perception, God will make it known to you a good candidate for a spouse. And that person himself will make himself known or herself known without really knowing it. And it's part of the maturing process. Do not be afraid to, how shall I put this? Do not be afraid to accept what mom and dad have to tell you. Because you will someday, God willing, be moms and dads. And the purpose of a mom and a dad is like a hammer and a chisel. We are all diamonds in the rough. Mom is the chisel. Dad is the hammer. Each one is held by the hand of God. And they are there to chip away at the imperfections. And make you the most beautiful diamond that could be made. As fathers in the home, we stand for our children as the image of God. Except by the grace of God, you will take your understanding of God the Father in heaven from your relationship with your earthly father. How you relate to your earthly father in many ways is how you will relate to your heavenly father. And your mother is like the church, who has the care of you under God's direction. So as we become mothers and fathers ourselves, we remember these things and we guide and shape our own children
și ne ghidăm și ne transformăm propriul nostru copii
in the way in which they should go to serve God. Because again, children are the Lord's heritage. And I thank you very, very much for your kind attention, and I will only finish with one more illustration. And then take whatever questions you may have. As I have told my friends who accompany me here, I am glad that I'm here in the winter time, because good ripe tomatoes are not in season to throw at me. Although eggs are probably still pretty readily available, I'm sure. And this has to do with our maturing process. A man was visiting a rug factory. Yes. Rug is also slang for a toupee.
Really?
Yes. And it was in the Middle East. So it was what we call a Persian rug. And the owner was showing the gentleman the intricacies of weaving a rug. And as they walked over to a table where a man was making a rug, the man looked at the rug as it was being made, and it looked terrible. And he thought, this is a very poor rug. And he said, how can you sell something like this? And the owner said, you are looking at it from the wrong side. And he took it under the table to look at the underside of the rug, which was really the top side. And there was this beautiful creation. And so we tend to look at ourselves and others from the side of the rug that the man looked at erroneously. But when we look at the rug from God's perspective, the other side of ourselves, what God is planning for us, as a finished product, then we see only beauty and wonderment. Because we are created in the image and likeness of God. And so I share with you one last thing. I attended a seminar years ago in which the man at the end of the seminar, it was a week, gave out little buttons for us to wear. And they had letters on them. Like letters of the alphabet. And the letter stood for, please be patient with me. God is not finished with me yet. So if we remember that we are all still a work in progress, and that as God gives us His grace and understanding of His will, that we should be married.
Și că în momentul în care Dumnezeu ne va da dorința și înțelegerea că e momentul să ne căsătorim.
And we choose the right partner for life.
Și alegem partenerul potrivit pentru viață.
Then we will find one whom God has chosen to help us attain the kingdom of God.
Atunci vom găsi pe acest sau aceea care a fost ales de Dumnezeu să ne ajută să atingem împărăția Dumnezeu.
I thank you very much for your kind attention.
Mulțumesc pentru atenție.
And for your most valuable time.
Și pentru timpul vostru foarte valoros.
Now perhaps I can stop being nervous. Does anybody have any questions they would like to ask? Oh, excellent. Oh my goodness. As I said earlier, there are some times when I can answer any question with three words. I don't know. How many wagons full of people's souls does your soul train drag behind?
Câte vagoane pline cu suflete omenești trage în urma lui trenulețul dumneavoastră cu trenulețul sufletului dumneavoastră?
That is something that we will never know this side of eternity. The thing that we are called to do is live in the kingdom of heaven and show people that there is a difference in living for the world and living for the kingdom of God. Sometimes our words can be very devastating to people. Once when I was up in Alaska, after I had met Christ and before my wedding, I had a young man come to me and say to me, there is something different about you. What is different about you? You seem to have a peace and calm that I don't see in other people. And so, being very new in Christ, I really did not have the ability to express a good answer. So I gave to him some of the very basic Christian books I had been given. For him to read. And then I interacted with him sometimes, but not very often.
Și după aceea ne-am mai întâlnit de câteva ori, dar nu foarte des.
And when it was my time, getting near my time to leave Alaska,
și când se apropia momentul ca eu să plec din Alaska,
I was in the military.
Eram în armată.
I wanted to leave early to begin studies at Bible college. And my request was rejected by the military. So I had to serve my full term in Alaska. And I was very angry. And I went in and talked to the commander of the base. And I, you know, I pitched the fit.
Yeah.
Okay. And I ranted and raved. And acted like a jerk. This young man was in the same room. He left Alaska before I did. And as he was leaving, he knocked on my door to give me back the books I had given him. And I had to blow dust off of them. Which means that he had not read them. Because my anger was more powerful than my previous witness for Christ had been. And if this young man is not in the kingdom of heaven, I bear at least some responsibility. But on the other hand, I've had many young men who have come to me and asked for spiritual advice and even asked me to be their spiritual father. As a deacon, I cannot hear confession or give absolution. But these young men have come to me and confessed their sins. And my instruction to them is to help them overcome their sins and to say, please go make your confession to the priest and get his absolution. One of those young men has just entered the monastic life. And every time I think on him, I thank God. Another has married and born four children and is a professor of church history in a very liberal university. And I am so blessed by knowing these young men whom God has drawn to me as unworthy as I am. So not only do I not know how many are on the train, but I also do not know how many are pushed off the train. By my allowing my passions to control me at any given moment. Have I answered your question? Thank you very much. This is not a question, but this is a very warm and wonderful thank you. And I say with all earnestness and all truth, whatever good I may have communicated today, thank God. And for whatever I have said that is not beneficial or hurtful in any way or anything, may you gracious people and God forgive me. Thank you so much for this wonderful moment.
Părinte, am mulțumit Dumnezeu pentru mi-a permis să vă spun un lucru care v-a putea ajuta.
This asks, how can we really realize who is the right partner for life?
Cum ne putem da seama care este partenerul potrivit de viață?
How can we realize that the understanding that we want to marry is from God and not from the devil, our passions?
Cum putem să ne dăm seama dacă dorința de a ne căsători vine de la Dumnezeu și nu de la diavol sau de la patru?
How can we distinguish them?
Cum putem să facem diferența între ele?
In the back of the book that we will be giving out, there are two essays.
La sfârșitul cărții pe care le-ați primit, se află două esei.
They are on the subject of formulating what I call a marital imperative.
Și se referă la ceea ce eu numesc formularea unui imperativ de a ne căsători.
And when I counsel young people premaritally,
și atunci când dau sfaturi tinerilor înainte de a se căsători,
I ask them to formulate individually without consulting one another.
De aceea să-și formuleze fiecare în mod individual fără să vorbească unul cu celălalt.
What is the purpose of this union of marriage?
Să-și dea seama care este scopul acestei cununii pe care vor să o facă.
Because many of us don't really think in terms of this. Let alone the fact that if I were to ask any one of you right now, what is the purpose of your life?
Care este scopul vieții voastre?
Could you give me an answer like that? Or would you have to think about it for a while? Well, how much more in entering into holy matrimony do we think about what is the purpose of this marriage? And so I asked the wife to be and the husband to be to formulate what is the purpose of your marriage in two or three short sentences. And when we come together and read them, it is a good indication of how much work I have to do as a premarital
counselor.
If he says to have somebody wait on me hand and foot, cook my meals and wash my clothes, and that's his marital imperative, and she says to shop at Nordstrom's all the time because he's rich, then I have a lot of work to do. But then again, if you have two people that have similar understanding,
dar dacă e vorba de doi tineri care au dorință comună, similară.
Of what the purpose of the marriage is to be. Then I just have to fine tune. And then what I do is have them combine the two statements into one.
Și ceea ce am făcut este să ajut să își combine aceste două afirmații ale fiecărui acțiune într-una singură.
Keeping it short to two or three sentences.
Menținând totuși la limita de două trei propoziții.
So that it can be memorized.
Ca să poată fi învățată pe de rost.
And it should be posted prominently in the home in different places.
Și ar trebui să fie afișată în diferite locuri în casă, în casa lor.
So when there is a dispute between husband and wife over a certain activity or purchase or anything like that, we can point to the marital imperative to solve the discussion.
Se poate privi la acest imperativ pentru ca să rezolvă problema.
And we have a referee which is able to very quickly settle disputes.
Și acest imperativ servește ca un arbitru care e repede capabil să rezolve disputele.
Now, the first part of the question asks how can we realize or how who is the right partner for life? I'm kind of answering the questions out of order, unfortunately. Because I tend to be a disorderly person. Is that people will speak volumes about who they are without realizing
it.
So that if I am dating this beautiful young lady, and she invites me to her home for dinner.
Deci dacă eu ies cu o domnișoară și mă invită la ea acasă pentru cină.
And we're sitting at the table with her family.
Și stăm cu toți la masă împreună cu familia ei.
Brothers and sisters.
Fraților.
And all of a sudden she and her sisters.
Și la un moment dat, deodată ea și surorile ei
make cruel jokes about her brothers. And in general say derogatory things about men. This will speak to me about her attitude towards men.
Aceasta îmi va spune mie ca bărbat despre care este atitudinea ei față de bărbat.
And during the dating or courting process,
și în timpul acestui proces al
what used to be whatever you want, sweetie, whatever you want, honey,
ceea ce în probleme putea fi spus cu
will become, you no good bum, go clean the yard. Because in the process, again, going back to the story of the politician, that was the campaign. This is after the election. So what we see in unspoken, so to speak, communication will tell us very much about the core beliefs and values of the person.
Ne spune foarte multe despre credințele cele mai adânci ale persoanei.
even though they're trying to hide that from you. And then this is again the importance of sharing one's core values.
Și de aceea este atât de important să ne împărtășim credințele cele mai adânci, valorile cele mai adânci.
And being, oh, sorry, and being open and honest with one another.
Și să fim deschiși și cinstiți unul cu celălalt.
In order to know the person in their heart and soul.
Pentru ca să putem cunoaște persoana cealaltă în întregul, în profundimea inimii și sufletului meu.
If we set aside the emotion that says, oh, he's so cute.
Deci dacă punem deoparte sentimentele noastre care sunt ai atât de drăguț.
And pay attention to what he's really saying.
Și dacă ascultăm cu atenție ceea ce spune cu adevărat.
When he doesn't know that he's saying it.
Fără să-i dea seama că spune acesta.
We will understand what that person's real core values are. And I do. Okay. Well, I didn't bring my jammies. Okay. But anyway, that those particular questions are covered in the book. So forgive me for being so long-winded. But again, understanding whether we should marry or not. Comes from our internal motives.
Rezultă din motivele noastre interioare.
If as a young woman,
da, ca și o tânără, dacă o tânără,
you want to marry and raise children for God,
vă doriți să vă căsătoriți și să creșteți copii în numele, în frica lui Dumnezeu,
and be a good wife and mother,
și să fiți o soție și o mamă bună,
then we can take that as almost an assurance that this is from God. As I tell my good female friends, if God calls you to be a wife and mother, do not lower yourself to be the president.
Nu te înjuti să fii președinte. Is that what you meant?
That's what I meant. Okay. Or don't lower yourself to be the king.
Sau nu te înjuti devenind rege.
Because wife and mother is the most important job in this world.
Pentru că a fi soție sau mamă este cea mai importantă slujbă pe care o poți avea pe acest pământ.
Because they will form and raise the next generation of our leadership in this world.
Pentru că să fie și noi cele care vor crește viitoarea generație a liderilor acestei pământ.
I am so sorry that I have gone so long, and I apologize sincerely that I can't answer more questions. But I will, God willing, leave a few cards here with my email address. And if you want to email a question, I will do my absolute best to answer it for you. But please read the book, and hopefully many of the questions will be answered in the book. Thank you again so much for your kind attention.
mă de la cuvine să fac adevărat să te ferici de mine scăsoare Dumnezeu și apropia fericită și care vinovată și mai ca Dumnezeul nostru, ceea ce ești mai cinstitării de Herubini și mai slăvită fără de asemănare de Serafini, care fără schimbeciune cu Dumnezeu cuvântul ai născut, pe tine cea cu adevărat scăsoare Dumnezeu te mărim. Pentru că sunt Sfinților Părinților noștri, Doamne, Sfântul Părinților noștri, Doamne, Sfântul Părinților noștri, Doamne, Sfântul Părinților noștri.